Archdiocese of New Zealand of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Patitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex. Hi, I am Presbytera Katerina, and I am filling in for Father Paul today, as he is on retreat in Leuven with some of our parishioners, and I'm very excited for them, because for some of them, this is the first time that they are going to a monastery, and yeah, they're pretty excited about it. It's a small group of men, which is always, it's just nice, you know, to have the guy time. I almost said boy time. I corrected that. Our monastery, as most Greek Orthodox monasteries, practices hospitality as a rule of life. So people go there for retreat as long as there's room. There's usually a place for a visitor to go and visit. But because of this, monasteries are ideal places for retreats. I have a friend in the United States, and let's see, her baptized name is Tatiana, and she has a beautiful life story herself, and she is a physician and a very hardworking one. I would say she works anywhere between 60 and 80 hours a week. She and her husband of several years liked to travel, and they had been to many, many sites around the world. They hiked Kilimanjaro, for example, and they had been to many famous places in Europe, as well as tropical resorts, and they even came here to Auckland to run in the Auckland Marathon. And on that trip, they went blackwater rafting, too. So these people are not shy about getting out in the world and doing things that they think are wonderful. Well, Tatiana told me one day that if given the chance, she would rather be visiting an Orthodox monastery than any other place. She has a favorite place where she goes, and she feels deeply refreshed when she is there. And I found her statement extraordinary, because she could choose to be anywhere in the world, and she chose this monastery in Arizona, and she tends to like to go to St. Anthony's Monastery. Even once, I remember being with teenagers and going to a monastery in Pennsylvania, in the USA. And throughout the ride there from Ohio, it was about 3 hours, and the kids were periodically complaining. They didn't know anybody. What was it going to be like? Is it going to be boring? They'd never been to a monastery before. They don't know what to do. And so I was worried that they might complain and dishearten the nuns who were there showing us hospitality, as is the tradition. Because they work hard to take care of the people who visit. It's not easy to entertain, let alone entertain strangers. But after the service, the kids went off on their own. They had huge grounds at the monastery, and so they found others that they were, you know, their age, and they could do things with. I was not thinking of them, because I had my own reason for being there, and I wanted to be in the moment with whoever I was with. But by the evening, around 7 p.m., we were on the way back home in the car, and the kids were talking again, only they surprised me with what they had to say, because I couldn't believe my ears hearing them say, "That was great, really. It's good to get away." And then, like, these kids were saying things like, "Peace and quiet is really good." I'm like, "What? You know, what happened to all the excitement you were looking for?" I asked them why they were saying such things, and two of the three looked at me with a look of pity, as if I had missed something. But the youngest one says, "It was such a peaceful place, and it made me happy." I do encourage people to visit monasteries, as they are bastions of peace and places where a person can feel himself. A monastery that has beautiful grounds is really nice, too. But what we find when we're there many times is a real gift. And, I could tell you about my own personal gifts from being at monasteries, but You know, for now, I'd like to tell you some stories today about some saints instead. And one will be St. Porphyrios, who we remembered on the 2nd of December. And I think Father Paul talked about him perhaps last week when we also talked about St. Andrew. But I've got a video to share with you. Well, you're going to hear the audio portion. And also St. Nicholas, because yesterday was his feast day. But while I'm getting that ready, how about we play some Christmas music? Yes. Favorite Christmas song. And so, you know, if the previous program played the same Christmas carol, I have to say I do hope that you like it as much as I do. Yeah. We're going to learn a little bit today about St. Porphyrios. Now, we did talk about him a little bit last week, and we found a video about St. Porphyrios, of people's testimonies of him and their experience with him. So I'm just going to play a little bit of that for you, and hopefully this works. I tried to prepare it here on the PC, and take a listen and see and hear and think.
Even when on the holy mountain, Elder Porphyrios had wished to take care for the sick and suffering. He was seeking such a place when a friend referred him to the professor who had managed the Athens Polyclinic and was looking for a priest. The professor wanted a priest with a degree in theology and wondered if he were a fit. The elder replied, "I don't know, professor. You must decide. I have a desire to serve in a hospital. It's a desire I've had from the time I was in the desert. Most importantly, I know how to read and perform the liturgy. If you give me a chance, you will be pleased." The professor wanted the elder for the position, and thus took him to see Archbishop Chrysanthos of Trapezunda for approval. What education do you have? Your Beatitude, I'm not educated. I learned to read in the desert. How long did you attend school? Only 1 year of primary school. What can we do, Professor? Asked the Archbishop. It's the center of Athens there in Omonia Square. People will think we're mad. Not at all. He's the priest I want. He's the man for the job. How's it to be done? Do you know how to sing? I've learned, in a practical sort of way, replied the young monk. Listen, my child, this is a post that needs an educated person, a priest who's able to preach, because that area is a center of vice and corruption, and there must be someone who can speak and teach the people. Nevertheless, the professor wants you. So what I would say is this. You're not educated, but at least try to maintain a dignified bearing. And I would even go so far as to say that perhaps your manner is better than that of someone with a theological education who would preach with fine words. With your blessing, Your Beatitude.
My family lived in Athens after the war, and when I was 17, I went out to buy some oil for our lamps. We were more old-fashioned back then, and so when I stopped to speak with a young man I knew for a few minutes, my brother misconstrued it and told my mother, "Effie has shamed us. She was flirting with a boy on the street." My mother scolded me, and I was deeply hurt. But the next day, my father treated me kindly and asked if I could help him in the garden. I went, but had not slept much, and secretly resolved to eat some weed killer so that I could die. But just when I put my hand in my pocket, I heard footsteps in the garden, and suddenly a priest appeared, as if from nowhere, and said, "Dear Effie, do you know how wonderful paradise is? All joy and delight. Christ is all light, and he scatters joy and delight on everyone. He is waiting for us in the next life to give us the gift of paradise. But there is also hell, which is all darkness, anxiety, and depression. If you swallow what you've got in your pocket, you'll go to hell. So throw it away at once so that we don't lose the beauty of paradise." I was speechless. Who could this be? I gathered myself and asked him to stay, and then ran to get my father. But when we returned, he was no longer there. It didn't matter. His words touched my heart. It really changed my life, and I began moving in a more positive direction. Years later, I went across town to visit my godmother. She asked me to prepare some coffee and sweets on a tray, and then bring it to the lounge for a visitor. I did as she asked, but when I walked into the room, I nearly dropped the tray. Her visitor was the same priest that saved me in the garden years ago. "Hello, I'm Father Porfirios," he said to me, smiling. From then on, we developed a friendship. And now I'm married with children and thank God every day for the prayers and counsel of the elder over the years.
Elder Porfirios served in the chapel of St. Hierosymos at the Athens Polyclinic for 3 decades and saw many sick and suffering people, and healed them of their spiritual and physical wounds through the grace of God. But he initially thought of leaving. During the first Sunday liturgy in the chapel, the elder noticed noise coming from the street, buses, and people, and most of all, a gramophone playing in one of the shops. He was used to the silence of the desert, not the sound of music blaring out love songs. He visited the shop and asked the owner if he would turn off the music on Sunday mornings. The shop owner replied, "I've got my living to earn and children to feed. Mind your own business." The elder thought about leaving for another church, but remembered how the archbishop and the professor gave him this chance. So he prayed to God for guidance. "My God, I don't want you to speak to me. I don't want you to show me a sign. But with your own love, reveal to me something simple that will enable me to know whether I should stay or leave. Something very simple. I'm not asking for a miracle. I'm ashamed to. He prayed and fasted for 3 days and awaited God's answer in silence. Then one day, a young boy entered the chapel to light a candle. He had a physics textbook, and the elder decided to flip through it. He found in it an experiment where a small rock was thrown in a calm pond, and ripples were created. Then, a much larger rock was thrown in, and larger ripples, covering a greater area, overcame the smaller ripples. He immediately thought of prayer, and how the fervor and intensity of his prayer should be enough to overcome the noise. From this simple lesson, he found the answer to his problem, and never again noticed the sounds from the street. He would later say, "From then on, my mind was focused solely on divine worship. I felt that I was in heaven as well as on earth, and we were all embraced by divine grace."
Господь с тобою, благословена ты жена, и благословен плод чрева твоего, яко спаса родила, еси душ наши. Богородице Дево, радуйся, благодатная Мария, Господь с тобою. Благословена ты жена, и благословен плод чрева твоего, яко спаса родила, еси душ наши. Богородице Дево, радуйся, благодатная Мария, Господь с тобою. Благословена ты жена, и благословен плод чрева твоего, яко спаса родила, еси.
And that was Divna singing Ave Maria in another language. Divna is Serbian, and she has a very beautiful voice, and she's known throughout Europe. And I like having her on the radio show. She makes a great, great transition sound, but also a very peaceful and very, very, she brings a lot of tranquility. Now, just yesterday, we celebrated the Feast of St. Nicholas, and we've got about 10 minutes left, so we can talk about St. Nicholas a little bit. Yes, he was the first Santa Claus, as he is known for his generosity and his help to the poor especially. And St. Nicholas has played a major role in our lives and our family, and we do try to honor him through prayer and gift-giving. And I'd like to read some stories for you. From the life of, well, actually, these are modern miracles. And okay, in the Orthodox Church, we might be talking about the 1800s, but they're still considered modern miracles of St. Nicholas. I was hoping for the intro, but I don't know what happened to that. So the intro isn't playing, but I do have a little bit of music for us. In the village of Agios Nikolaos in Solea, Cyprus, they did not have this name from the beginning. And it's because of a miracle of St. Nicholas that prompted the residents to rename their village. St. Nicholas' icon from Agios Nikolaos tis Stegis, Kakopetria, another of the villages in Solea. One day, a farmer, while tilling his field, had a problem. The blade of the plow was caught under a large stone, with a spade of the farmer dug around the stone and pulled out. He saw that the stone had a hole at one end, the same size as one at the other end. And the farmer, thinking such a stone could be useful, carried it home at the end of the afternoon, putting a rope through the hole and tied his ox to the stone. But when he woke up in the morning, he found his ox had died. He called his neighbors to tell them how his ox died from the stone, thinking that the stone may have a demonic energy. The neighbor said that his ox died from bad grass, not from the stone, but the farmer still insisted that something had happened. The farmer thought the old man was probably right. One Saturday night, St. Nicholas appeared to the farmer and told him where the stone was found is a church that still existed, though it was deeply buried. He ordered the farmer to uncover it. That Sunday, the farmer went to church, and after liturgy, he told the villagers about his vision and begged them to go and help him uncover the church. They followed him, and before sunset, they found the walls of the church. They dug around the church until the walls came to their waists. The walls were painted. On the one wall, there was a full figure icon of St. Nicholas. The villagers then decided to build a church on that spot and to name their village after St. Nicholas. So Agios Nikolaos was one of the 10 villages in the mountainside area of Solea, or Solea, on Cyprus. Agios Nikolaos was abandoned in 1974 because it was in the buffer zone between Greek and Cyprus and the area occupied by Turkish troops. The next story is from 1862, a modern miracle of St. Nicholas. And it happens in the Aleutian Islands in Alaska. In 1862, Tlingit leaders asked the Russian Orthodox bishop of the Aleutian Islands and Alaska to come to Juneau from his headquarters in San Francisco so that they could become Orthodox Christians. As there were no Russians in Juneau, because Alaska was first missionized by the Russians, the bishop now, how the Tlingit had become come to this decision. He asked how the Tlingit had come to this decision. And he was told that a young Tlingit man had a vision of a short, white-bearded old man telling him to go to Sitka and be baptized. The Tlingit in Sitka had their own Russian Orthodox chapel with services in the Tlingit language, unlike the American missionaries, meaning the, I have to tell you that it's the other denominations of missionaries. They were under orders from the United States government, so they believed, to suppress native languages and customs and use only English. The young man went to Sitka and was baptized. Not long afterward, he became very ill. Nearing death, he called for the elders of the village and told them the white-bearded old man had come again, giving the message that the Tlingit people should be baptized. After the young man died, the elders had the same vision with the white-bearded man, and as this vision or dream spread, the Tlingit people became very eager to be baptized. Then they saw an icon of St. Nicholas, the wonder worker, Archbishop of Myra in Lycia. They recognized him as the white-bearded old man who had come to them in their dreams. The Tlingit leader, Yes Ga'anaix, and his wife were baptized, followed by 700 Tlingit people, all coming to the Orthodox faith. The St. Nicholas Orthodox Church in Juneau, Alaska, the Russian Orthodox Church in Juneau, was dedicated to St. Nicholas, the wonder worker, in 1894, as the Tlingit people work on on the sea, primarily as fishermen, they have a special love for St. Nicholas, the protector of all who go to sea. The Juno Church is the oldest in continual use in Southeast Alaska, which I thought was pretty good. We have one more story about an icon's reappearance in a Ukrainian village. Before World War II, and this is a personal account, our farm belonged to the priest. The old house was destroyed by German bombs, and we had to build a new home. In 2006, this is not so old, in 2006, the priest's old shed burned down. When cleaning up the wreckage, we found two small boards, image size, 10 by 15 centimeters. We were very surprised they hadn't burned. My husband decided not to throw them away, said 85-year-old Maria Nefortuna, who was living there at the time. Her husband, Basil, said, originally, it was impossible to see anything on the boards. They were dull, yellowish, and badly damaged by beetles. The boards were put in the summer kitchen and forgotten until the grandchildren found them and began to play with them. Seeing it, I picked up a board and was shocked. There seemed to be the face of a saint. I took it to church, had it blessed, and then placed it in a more prominent place in the house next to the family photos. There were no doubts that this was an icon. In a few months, the face and hands of St. Nicholas the Miracle Worker appeared, and even details of his clothing. Some details appeared in just a week, said Basil. The priest from the church in Rasivka, Father Bogdan, reported that the appearance of these images took place before his eyes. I remember well how dull the image of St. Nicholas was when we sanctified the board, and how clear it is now. It just lit up. I had no doubt that it was a miracle. It is impossible to wash or clean old icons. These experiments do not go with that. Whether or not renewed, it is God's will in everything. The atmosphere at home and faith of the people who lived there played a large part, said the priest. The image of St. Nicholas reappeared on the icon, Jesus Christ on the second icon. Now villagers come to the home the same as they go to church to venerate these icons. And that source came from John Sanidopoulos, who researched the story. So, story about some miracles, and isn't life full of them, really? I think whether it's a miracle about an icon or a miracle about somebody's health, we have both things happening in our world. We have both tragedies and we have miracles. And I'm very grateful that I can share that with you. Let's play a song and have a feeling this one's a really lively one. Let's see what happens. Join us on the Narthex. join us again next week when Father Paul will be here. Until then, we should have a good weekend.